For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Isaiah Foskey, who's a second-round draft pick, a second-round pick the Saints picked up just last year after they drafted Brian Brisee. And then now he's buried on the depth chart behind the likes of guys like Carol Granderson, Chase Young, Cam Jordan, Peyton Turner himself, and then eventually Isaiah Foskey. And depending on Foskey, you might have Tanu Passanio playing past him. So he might be behind Passanio depending on how they use him. So how is he supposed to develop? You see what I'm saying? So at some point you want to draft guys, but you don't want to bring guys on a team that's going to smother the young talent that you have. And you got these guys on the window. So, and then of course, a part of it is the desperation of the team being that they start to have economic issues with the cap and the fact that the coach is in the third year and the Saints are in a 3-year playoff purgatory. Well, they're not even at some measurements, even close to sniffing the playoffs. So it's very interesting where the Saints are. And that's what I'm saying. The energy of how they're operating, they're detached from reality in my book. They really are. And I'm not saying I'm sounding the goddamn horn in the whistles because it's almost like they sleepwalking through this stuff. I'm just going to keep it a buck 15 with you. It just weird. It just doesn't have the urgent energy that you see Philadelphia operating with, or you see Atlanta operating with, or even Carolina. They don't have the same urgent energy to improve the team. They acting like they just got off the playoffs. Yeah, we was in the playoffs and we billing forward. They're not exhibiting the same energy and force that some of these other people are. And it's not because in every situation is different, but the energy is the same. It's either a powerful, urgent energy that moves you in a direction, or it's some type of malaise. Like they just going about the motions. And I'm saying to myself the whole time is you got an overvalued opinion on Derek Carr's game. For a guy that been in the league for 11 years, staring people down as much as he was doing it last year was horrible to me. And that was a 10-year veteran. I've seen quarterbacks play that are in college and in pros who didn't do that much. Young quarterbacks, 2 or 3 years, and they knew not to stare down people. Every now and again, they do it. But we got a 10-year veteran that stared people down. I mean, literally stared them down. You know, so there's an overestimated value view of who Carr is. There's an overestimated value of who Dennis Allen is to the general manager. There's an overestimated value of view who Mickey Loomis is by Dennis Lucia. And Dennis Lucia is not a football man. He's a businessman. You don't ask him football questions. He'll send it to Mickey Loomis. And if Mickey Loomis is the biggest football brain that you have in the building, you got problems, Jack. Bottom line. If Mickey Loomis is the biggest football brain you got in the building, you're going to be sounding like this. But in the end of the day, man, we just gonna keep it bucking, man. I just don't like the energy that I'm seeing from this team, man. But maybe it'll change. We'll see. All right, so anyway, let's slide on into this one. NFL bans the hip drop tackle. Cam Jordan responds. A shout out to Canal Street Chronicles. They dropped some scoop on this on Monday. The annual league meeting in Orlando, the infamous hip drop tackle was banned by the NFL after growing safety concerns associated with the technique. The ban was approved by NFL owners to protect offensive players from lower body injuries. This legislation has become a recent focus after multiple hip drops caused several significant injuries this season. Now, Cam did chime in on this. Cam didn't like it. You know, Cam had the throw up emoji, and Ian Rappaport's tweet says the NFL banned the hip drop tackle. The competition committee was unanimous on it. According to NFL's recent definition of hip drop tackle, it occurs, quote, when a tackler grabs a ball carrier, swivels and leaves the ground, then falls on the back of the ball carrier's leg, right? The main opposition to this penalty comes from the grievances over the growing laundry list of tackling restrictions and the difficulty of accurately calling the penalty by an official. So you're going to have a bunch of mistakes with that. The NFL Players Association was actually against the penalty. New Orleans Saints defensive end Cam Jordan voiced his displeasure with the decision. And as someone who makes a living from tackling, who can blame him? Cam's tweet says, D-U-M-B. Everyone knows it. Watch how you hit a QB. Can't hit anyone over the middle. Now watch how you tackle. You know, and then somebody named Susie said, this is so dumb. Jordan will enter his 14th year in the NFL and will have to make adjustments to his tackling technique. Dennis Allen did not comment on the ban during his interview. He don't really too much comment on none of that. But anyway, that's Cam. Cam didn't like the call. All right. So we'll see how that all ships. How y'all feel about that, man? Let me ask y'all about that. The hip drop tackle. How do y'all guys feel about it? And Cam said, how are we supposed to tackle people? How are we supposed to tackle it? And boy, oh boy, you're going to see a ton of mistakes the referees make on this stuff. I could just see it coming. You know, you get them idiots another thing to do, and they just going to just mess it all up to hell. All right. Anyway, and this is a cap just to share with the family members, a quick cap update. According to Over the Cap, as you can see, roughly the Saints are over $8.3 million in cap currently, just to let you know. All right. So anyway, still in the poll right now is that the Saints poll is still leading the charge. 10 plus wins for the black and gold, according to 36% of the Who Dats that were polled in this thing, man, is all to the good. All right. Yeah, Arvin says, let me hit some of the family members in the chat. Shout out to you guys for being up late, man. I'm not going to hold you too long. I just wanted to talk at you for a few minutes. Arvin says, why do people think Carr, some elite QB who's held back by coaching and the offensive line? $150 million, bro, is what why people think that he's some type of elite quarterback. The thing, the part of Carr's game is, if he was more accountable, you know, more accountable, and if you can get somebody to make him more accountable, he can turn in some big numbers. But he's the type of dude you have to be. He has to be motivated to do so. Like, you have to have a coach that's on him. That's why he had better numbers under John Gruden and based on everybody else. John Gruden don't play that shit. John Gruden is similar to Sean Payton in many regards. He won't let him make it with that. That's why those numbers were big under Gruden. He was making them, keeping them accountable. And that's what kind of coach you need. You don't need a coddling ass dog like this Pete Carmichael was last year, who wouldn't tell him the truth. You can't watch tape on a quarterback and watch the quarterback stare down the field and not correct his behavior. And it went the whole season. Until people was watching tape saying, how are they looking at tape? What kind of tape watching y'all doing? And you overlooking this major flaw of this guy's game. That's a fundamental error that will cost you ball games to do that. So it's $150 million that think that with the proper team around him that he can soar to levels that he didn't with the Raiders. Now, listen, portion of that is true, but you got to have a guy, like I said, to make him accountable. Can Clint Kubiak be the guy to do that? Plus, you have to have the offensive line around. They have to run the ball. You got to have a defense in place. And all this has to work to his advantage. And like I said, when he starts staring guys down and all that, you got to get on him. You got to keep him straight. And that's what it comes down to. But that's what they're thinking, man. You know, So he got to prove a lot of guys wrong. And I don't like his fake positive stuff. And you know what I mean? And I won't sound, make that sound wrong, but it's a time when it's a time to go there. It's a time to do that. Like when you start talking about that after the game, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear what happened. Then after you go through that, then you can lead in that. Don't just come off the bat and say, we're just going to do that. No, we want answers first. Then get off into your fake positive bullshit after the fact. You know, it's like there's real positive energies out there, and there's fake, you know, there's fraudulent ones. And that's just something that from time to time I witness him do just to skirt the answers. He don't want to address the answers. That's a mechanism he used to escape away from accountability. When you start getting into the fake positive stuff, and we, you know, I recognize the technique and I'm like, man, I don't want to hear that. You need to answer these questions on why you're doing it. And that's what I'm saying. He got to be, he's not a guy that's a self-motivating guy like a Drew Brees type. Drew knows, he knows how to study film. I don't know if you're a quarterback with good sense, you can look at the tape and see where you're screwing up. Like, man, I shouldn't have threw that ball over there. Well, I was standing over there the whole damn time and had wide receivers running to the right there wide open. Why didn't I look over there? How you can go look at tape as much as they say they claim they are and still go out and make the same mistake? I don't get that part of the game. Studying tape means that you're supposed to correct the errors that you made in the previous game, or at least severely reduce them so they don't cause you to lose the next game. You get me? So, I mean, I don't know what kind of tape studying they're doing, to be honest with you. Jack says, so what you're saying is last year everyone was picking us to win the division, and now we're scraping the bottom. Actually, we're over Carolina. Carolina is actually what they're saying is scraping the bottom. Carolina is the new bottom. Last year, Tampa Bay was the bottom. So, in essence, whoever the bottom is, it seems like they might be the team that win if this new trend keeps up. But the real interesting part about it is, as we continue to move forward, Carolina made a move today. They signed Jadeveon Clowney. That's not nothing big to us, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, but it's big to them. They think Clowney can help them along with what they added, because they added DJ Wonnum. They added Kalavion Chasen. They added him, and then they added Jadeveon Clowney to whatever role's defense there. And the defense last year was actually a pretty good unit. So now they add these weapons and these pieces here that they think that they can use to kind of help take them to that next step. But they're trying. You get what I'm saying? They're trying. They're bringing in people. They're moving people around. They're doing this. They're trying. They're trying. Jack says, why are we Kylan Penning like Derek? I don't know if they Kylan. They're not Kylan Penning. Oh, no, they're not. There's no coddling of Trevor Penning. Oh, that's absolutely not true, Jack. They're not Kylan. They've buried Penning. Last year, Penning was active and he was buried on the depth chart. You were pulling guys off the practice squad and putting them on top of him. And that had to not look good for the young man. That really, because he was talking about confidence issues. But no, hell no, they ain't coddled no Penning. You know, they buried Penning, and I know his confidence was way in the toilet. You know, no, that wasn't no coddling going on. The big coddler, the king coddler, was Dennis Allen, and his underling coddler was Carmichael, and they would not let you throw any darts at that damn quarterback. Let me tell you something. You're not going to talk about my quarterback. That's how they was handling it. Asa says we will have the same issues like last season. O-line will be garbage and Kubiak won't be able to do what he wants because of the handicap O-line. They got to get busy. We know that they brought in one offensive lineman. Now, there is a limited amount of options here. It's not like an infinite amount of options where we can't tabulate exactly where they're going to go. They can only go into these different rooms. Room one is what they're going to do with Trevor Penning. Could Clint Kubiak, or rather John Benton, the new offensive line coach, get Trevor Penning up to speed and get him ready for the right tackle position? And I said tackle because the guards are kind of stacked right now, because you just brought in Ali Udo, who might compete at the left guard position. They possibly send him as this guy that's challenging James Hurst for that position, right? And then you have Nick Saldiveri, who's also operating as a guard. So the guards are kind of piled in right there. And if you look at tackles, we need tackles, and Penning is a tackle, just not a left one. How does he look on the right side? Now, I've been saying that for a long time. I think that he can learn to play the tackle position from the right side, not so much the left. It's a whole nother animal. So, you know, do they get Penning together? Is they did they believe that Trevor Penning could be somebody that they can put together? Another room they can go in is they address it in the draft. They get a guy. Now, listen, we've talked about this before, about what the Saints possibly can do with some of these offensive linemen. And fortunately for them, they have a really good group of offensive linemen, tackles, that is, rather, in the draft that they can go to. There's quite a few of them that you can go to. I know Joe Alt is out of the question. I think Joe Alt will be gone. Fashanu more than likely will be gone inside the top five. But they got a handful of really talented tackles that's available, you know. Like I said, Fashanu, Joe Alt, those guys more than likely going to be gone. But you'll have a guy like Fuaga from Oregon State. You'll have J.C. Latham.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Alabama, he'll be there. Tyler Guyton's another dude. Even the big guy from Georgia, they got him elevating. He's starting to gain ground. Mims is his name, from Georgia. He's another guy. So they got quite a few really good offensive tackles that's available. Are the Saints looking to get a rookie tackle to protect the blind side of its $150 million quarterback? Are we willing to do that? So that's another option. Another door they can go to is they can trade. They can pinpoint a offensive tackle that they like and see if there's one available for trade. That's another room they can go to. That's not something the Saints actively do from an imagination standpoint. Like we've seen teams around, like our adversaries do. We've seen Atlanta make trades. We've seen Carolina made several trades. You know, we've seen trades happen. We don't see the Saints involved. But in the end, that's another door they can go to. So it's not an infinite amount of doors they can go to. We can pretty much kind of pick which, you know, kind of lay out which doors that they can walk through. And ultimately, you know, they can do that, or they can just pick up, you know, make drafts because the previous items. And then as the season gets older, like we get into camp, you'll pick up a older veteran guy to kind of hedge that. And then as the season gets ready to start the regular season, they'll have cuts that happen. And perhaps the Saints will then try to find a bargain basement offensive tackle or somebody might release, and then they'll ultimately bring them on the team. So there are different doors that they can go through in this whole thing. So we'll see how it goes, man. So in the end, it's not an infinite amount of doors that we can't like look at and say, well, they're going to do one of those things, you know, if anything. All right. Arvin says, Q, there seem to be some Raider fans that think Carr is elite. Well, that's because, bro, he owns a lot of the records in Raiderland. Derek Carr is a legend to many people in Raiderland, man. Not in the Who Dat Nation, because your guy is Drew Brees. But Derek Carr owns a lot of records for the Raiders. I think he owns their career, their ultimate passing records, touchdown records. It's something like that. He's up there. So a lot of people believe that because of he owns a lot of records for the Raiders. And they got a lot of respect for him out there. And people can't perceive that here because we got Drew, and Drew did what he did, but Carr did that for them. So, you know, that's one of the things. Asa says, Hugh, these type of moves that happens when you not trying to win anymore. Is that the feeling that you get into, Asa? I just talked about that, bro. Like the energy, because you can tell it's not an invisible, creepy energy that you can't witness, that you don't know what's going on. You can look and feel and see how the team is moving. And pretty much say to yourself, you know, whether or not, you know, okay, this team, you know, we know they're trying to win games. We know they're trying to do some positive stuff. You watch the Philadelphia Eagles matchup. I mean, the Eagles, what they're doing. You watch the damn Eagles. The Eagles are doing some stuff. The Eagles making trades. The Eagles making some signings. They're doing some stuff that I, you know, that shows that they're trying to compete. You see what Atlanta doing. You see Atlanta making moves. They signed Kirk Cousins. They overpaid for him, but hey, he filled their biggest need. He's a severe upgrade over the Riddler. And then he adds talent to their offense. They're doing some stuff. They are showing you, hey, man, we are going all in. We tired of this losing stuff. We want to make the playoffs. We want to go beyond the playoffs. It's an energy and a drive that you see. And the Saints not operating on it. We can look at it, feel it, and see it. They don't even, they sitting up here. Like I said, they have the feeling or the energy of a team that feel like they just got out of the playoffs. And they like, yeah, we did good last year. It's not the same. Like, you missing the playoffs for three straight years is a certain urgency you're supposed to have. That's why I say this, people, they detach from reality. That organization needs to be shaken up, man. They need to be shaken up because we trying to tell them, hey, man, you need to move faster because these other people are outstepping you. They're outpacing you. And they say, oh, well, we got a plan. Oh, well, you're fine. We got a plan. We're going to no, you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing. This is a competition. The NFL is a competition. It's a competition for resources. Whoever get to the best players first or set themselves up financially, they'll win. Atlanta's tired of losing, and they're doing something about it. Carolina's making moves. Carolina just signed Clowney. These people are not playing. They're making trades, and they're signing people. They're not playing. They're not playing. And the Saints are like moonwalking. But, yeah, that's the same energy I got from. I just said that, man. You can tell when the team's serious about winning. Yeah. Asa says people think they're crazy to think that they'll get 10 wins. I think a lot of the family members just tired of losing, man. They're just trying to send some energy out there. Slim says they better get an O-line together so the car don't mess up with the mask. Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. Oh, yeah. No, okay. Thank you, Jackie. He said I deleted the comic here. I meant not Colin Penley. No. Now I get what you're coming from. I'm just saying that the only guy that I've seen them coddle is Derek Carr, and you cannot do that. And I spoke against that the entire season because you've seen Carr stand up there, and I caught him telling lies. We got the answers. Now, Q, how he lied, man. Every time I say that, people like in the comment sections later on, like, Q, how did he lie? How did what he said? And I have to go back and say, fam, during the season, we covered all this. You're sitting up there talking about, yeah, we got the answers in the building. Put one in the chat. Y'all remember that. Just stand up there lying. And I said, this guy standing up here lying about answers to stuff that he spoke. That would never be the case with Drew Brees. He's like, man, listen, we trying to figure it out. We don't know what we, you know, what to do. We trying to figure it out. But we got the answers. They in the building. And then Jeff Duncan and Mike Triplett asked him, well, what's the answers? I can't tell you. You can't tell me how you going to fix you stinking. You ain't going to tell me how you going to stop yourself from looking and staring down people, not going through progression, stuff that quarterback's supposed to know how to do. Just insane. Just crazy. Look all at once. Indeed, he stand up there lying. And then that's what happened when you coddle these people. No, they have to be forced to be accountable. He can't come down here and take $150 million out of the Saint bank and not expect you're going to get some of this work. It's not going to happen. You have to be able to be a person that step the hell up and show up. And if the quarterback is doing that kind of shaky behavior, that is not a good sign because you have a weak coach. You got a lying quarterback. That is a recipe for disaster. That is a recipe for disaster. The coach don't want to tell the truth. The quarterback is running from it. So your only hope now is Clint Kubiak. He don't buy into this BS that they're doing right now, that he comes in and say, no, you're going to be accountable. You're going to stop staring down people. You're going to handle your goddamn business. If he does that, then you'll see the Saints offense step up and make and have because it's all they need. Now, they need to add some more people here on the offensive line to run whatever he's trying to do. But I'm saying the big part of what's going on with the Saints offense is not accountability. Guys are not being held accountable equally. There is no accountability on Derek Carr, except for with the Who That Nation, the Great Saint Think Tank are bringing. That's it. And then when we bring it, Mickey Loomis forms a wall to stop you from doing it by calling you and telling you that you know it, you negative noise, and that you're not qualified. He said all this, that you're not qualified to talk about Dennis Allen. Well, you're not qualified. And then the next question, of course, I asked the question, well, Mickey Loomis, what qualifies me to talk about your ass then? Well, you have to buy a certificate for me. I don't know. Hell no, we ain't doing none of that. We're going to still talk about your ass. You know, so, I mean, it's just one of the things, like, you look at it and a lot of these people, they write these articles and they just trying to write, just trying to give you something to talk about. And I understand that. But my job is to, just like their job is to trying to give you something to talk about or just to put something on you, because it's difficult to just write about the Saints every day. So people have to kind of draw and be real imaginative of what they want to talk about. But in the end, the reality is it's not hard to talk about something when you're keeping it real. I don't have to create all kind of narratives and all this shit. I just come out and keep it real and tell you what time it is. It's real easy for me. I don't have to play no sugarcoating games. I come out and tell your family, listen, we got a quarterback that is being coddled. We got a quarterback that is not accountable most of the times. We got problems with, you know, this, that, and third. We need to get fixed, because that's what you do. We don't come out and just gloss over the errors and issues of the team. They won't get fixed that way. And you don't think for a second you're not having an impact, because you are. Every time we get together and we talk, we create and spawn off ideas that writers write from, that people start talking about. Every time we get together, we spawn, that's the thing. They listen to you, especially when you know what you're talking about and you got a track record of knowing what you're talking about and you're consistent in your message. They'll listen, because a lot of people don't have that. They got to behave in a certain kind of manner and way to do that. And you don't really have to do that. Just tell the truth and tell the people how it is. And they'll love you and appreciate you for telling them the truth, because too many people lying to them. That's real. As far as the Saints goes, I've been saying this about Ram. I've been saying this about the Saints and over the last couple of years, and really over the last year, I've been really letting Mickey Loomis have it. Because he'd been out of bounds and nobody checked his behavior. Not Gail, not Dennis Lucia, to get there and say, hey, Mickey, you don't tell the people that support the team they're not qualified to talk about the coaching he losing, bro.
Well, you know, I got a little animated, you know, I'm tired of those goddamn guys. You know, I'm the great Mickey Loomis. You know, I found Sean Payton. You know, and just like I found Sean Payton, I found Dennis Allen. He's a young Sean Payton. He's going to show their asses. I'm telling you.
No, Mickey, nobody. That's what I'm saying. That's what we're here for. We can't let that happen, man. You can't disrespect the Who Dat Nation, man. You can't do it. So, like I said, man, at the end of the day, when we steady out and we look at the team, and we see some of the moves the teams are making from a defensive standpoint, the Chase Young situation lost a little glamour, or, you know, because of the injury, the neck issue. But still, if he gets healthy, he's a help. He helps. Willie Gay Jr. is basically your third linebacker. They say he's going to be competing for a starting job. Yeah, he got the third linebacker position. Who is he going to be out? Is he going to take Pete Werner's position? Is that the idea? Because he damn sure ain't taking DeMario's. And Pete Werner finally started playing healthy. So is that something? I mean, he got a starting job if they run the 4-3 linebacker situation. He's the third linebacker. But offensively is where we need a lot of help. Offensively speaking, we need a lot of help. We need more wide receivers. We need more offensive linemen. You're going to talk about needs. And starters, you are down one left tackle and a right tackle. You need a left tackle and right tackle. You need to figure out your guard situation, and which is the biggest part of the team with a new offensive philosophy coming in. You got to make sure you have the right players to run the new system. So it's the offense needs a lot of work over the next several weeks to months. And it seems like they're going to try to grab some of that talent pool from the draft. We'll see how it goes, man. It's still a lot of time going on right here, but they need to pick it up, man. They need to start picking this stuff up, man. All right. Shout out to Six Tyree G on Instagram. Shout out to my boy Strike Seven, man, as well. Appreciate you, brothers, and listening to me on Instagram over there, man. Much love to y'all. But listen, fam, I'm gonna get ready to get out on here. Y'all, much love to y'all, man. MDOT says that we will not progress as long as DA and Carr are here. This is the last year, man. 3 years, Dennis Allen. 3 years with Dennis Allen. 3 years. And like I said, we weren't the bottom feeding team. We were one game out of making the playoffs in Sean Payton's last year. And we didn't get that because Sean Payton wasn't dialed in that year. He wasn't dialed in. I covered it at the time. I talked about him talking in November to Jay Glazer of Fox about breaking the story about him retiring at the end of the year. He was having those discussions with Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer came out. I played the interview that offseason after that year was over with when Payton retired. I was playing. I was like, Sean Payton during the season was having discussions with Jay Glazer covering his retirement. He wasn't dialed in that year. If he was, the Saints would have made the playoffs in this final year. He wasn't dialed in. Who has retirement talks in November? I said November. He said it. Glazer said it, and I have it on the show back then. So he wasn't dialed in. So the Saints missed the playoffs that year. And then the next year, they picked up Dennis Allen. They've been out of the playoffs for 2 years. That's unfortunate. All right. So anyway, 3 years of mediocrity. Yes. Well, I mean, you know, he got to go somewhere, bro. There's no keeping Dennis Allen if he don't make the playoffs this year, man. There's no keeping him, bro. You can't justify keeping him for a fourth year if they don't make the playoffs. People are not going to go for it. It's going to be tough on him this year. It's going to be tough on him this year with the money, because people like me and you and the rest of the family members out here saying, we're not going to them games. We're not going to none of your events. We're not buying none of your stuff. That's going to have an economic impact on him. And we all know when you start doing stuff like that, you can change the game, man. All you have to do is just do what you're doing. Just don't go there. Don't buy nothing from them. And tell them why you're not buying nothing from them. I'm displeased with how this team is performing. I'm not happy with Mickey Loomis. I'm not happy with Dennis Allen. I'm not happy with how disrespectful Mickey Loomis been. You know, you know, like I said, I'll be giving the numbers and all that stuff. You can call up there and complain. And why? Tell them why you're not giving them the money too. Why you're not giving it to them. They'll change the game, man, because they want the money. It's all about the money, fam. And you got the money. The money comes from you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.